Yo.
Let's say, yeah, all right. So let's get started. Back from another episode. Hope everybody is being safe, had a good day, and protecting themselves from the coronavirus pandemic that's been going on. There's a lot going on right now. And I got some topics I want to cover out, some interesting topics. And you know, we're gonna start with the presidential debate. I know you saw the debate last night.
Yeah, man, that was something to go through. What are your feelings on it?
I mean, it was, I don't know the word I would have put, but it was very, I kind of knew it was going to happen because I know how Trump is. So, he's going to disrupt and be disruptive. That's just the kind of person he is. So, you know, every time Joe Biden would try to talk and explain himself, Trump would, try to counter it. It was kind of being childish. And I really like it. And, Trump is, I don't, can't really trust Trump because, all the lies he's been saying and promised this and that, the third, and he never comes through. So it was a mess. The debate definitely was a mess, though.
Yeah, and to be honest, I didn't watch it live. I didn't plan on watching it live. But when you said we were going to discuss it, I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and watch the recap. And the recap was just as bad as it was on Twitter, if that makes sense. It was just as bad as it was on social media, honestly. Because at first I felt, oh, I didn't really need to watch the debate. Like, social media would tell me who's the winner, who's the loser. Based on who's trolling who. But after watching a recap, I realized that at the end of that debate, maybe the loser is America itself, if that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, either, I mean, honestly, I don't really want Trump to get his second term. If I had to vote for anybody, I'd definitely even rather have Biden in office because I just can't with Trump, honestly.
Totally agree with you 100%. I feel like I texted one of my friends. I asked him, I was just like, so who do you think won? And then they explained to me who won. I'm not going to put people's political feelings out there, other people's political feelings out there. But then my response was, if it's the lesser of two evils, I would choose to put Joe Biden in because Joe Biden is a vote for the future. It's not a vote for him, it's a vote for the future of the country after that. It's a vote towards progress. Because so we can put a Democrat in power who's going to help bring some things to light, then maybe the next leader after that that's going to be prepped in the party could help continue towards a positive light,
That
if
might
that
sound
makes
right.
sense.
I think Joe Biden is kind of more for the people than Trump. I feel like Trump is basically more for himself. I only cares about, him and his money and his business. I think Joe Biden could actually produce, I'm not saying full change, but some kind of change in the community. So I'd rather have him, than deal with another Trump another 4 years and not make any progress. So that's just how I feel on it. I mean, election is just about a month away, so we'll see what happens with these debates. They're gonna have more debates than the election. The election when it comes down to the electoral votes. So, gosh, this like I mean they not the they not the best candidates, but you gotta pick one. Somebody gotta be in office, so you gotta pick one.
This has been an exhausting debate trail, and we've only been through 90 minutes of it. Let's wait until the vice presidents go on.
No.
You know? So think about, I can't wait to hear what you say about the vice presidents next week. But the only thing I will say, in order to help Biden win, Kamala Harris has been like in the background playing the Democratic Party. She's come out a couple of times, like saying she's for the culture, saying she's for the future. But I think she really needs to come forward and put her stake in the ground. And she needs to come forward and take a stand and say, this is the future. This is what I believe in. I'm going to come out and be assertive. Like, she needs to do that for the future of the party and the future of this 2020
Right, but
election.
remember, Kamala Harris, remember, she received some heat. I forgot what her comment said, but I remember her receiving some backlash about something against the black community. I forgot what she said. What was that? I forgot her comment. I can't think of it right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to the campaigns and what do people like more and who people can benefit more off of. That's what the election is really going to come down to. And who they trust more. It's all basically like a popularity contest. That's how I see the election as, honestly. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
all it really is. It's who you like more, who you think is better, and your own opinions. That's all it really comes down to. So.
And I love the voting energy, but let's keep this energy about voting in every single election, not just the president. Let's talk about mayors. Let's talk about city council. Let's talk about the Senate, the governor, the House of Representatives. Go vote in your district. Go be active. Go tune into a council meeting. Go tune into an IG Live for a local city council. So a bunch of people in Jersey City, like for us, that we get to tune into and be a part of. Let's take part in every vote because every vote does
Yeah,
matter,
I
not
agree.
just
Every vote
this one.
matters. Every vote counts, and every vote can predict the change of economy in our future. So it's affecting our economy and future and what's in store. So definitely, every vote matters. Every voice matters. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. The energy needs to be even throughout. Not just presidents and vice presidents, but like you said, Senate governors and mayors and public officials, whatever, all that good stuff. I agree, sir. Yeah, but at the end of the day, our future is at stake with the people in office and the governors and the government stuff like that. So we vote for do kind of matter.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we'll see what happens with those debates moving forward. I'm definitely gonna watch the next one and see what happens. But yeah, on to the next topic. We'll talk about the death toll in ICE custody is the highest it's been in 15 years. The numbers of deaths in immigration and customs enforcement custody grew dramatically this year. And that's 2020, which ends 21 people died in ICE custody. And that's more than double than other deaths in 2019, the highest death annual toll since 2005. And the immigrants' rights says the deaths are a sign of deteriorating conditions, serious problems with medical care, and ICE slow approach to handling the pandemic. More than 30 people who died in ICE custody this year had tested positive for COVID-19, including a 56-year-old man from the Marshall Islands who died in the hospital, and a 61-year-old man who died in Georgia hospital last week. Yikes. ICE. I mean, ICE was never. I mean, ICE. As you know about ICE, those are the people come for immigration people. Try to get them back to. They come, they and get people who immigrate from their country to the U.S. and try to deport them back and stuff like that. So they're not really the best people, and they're not really all that good people. So for them to have those type of deaths in their custody is, it's not really a good thing. It makes it seem like they don't really care about the immigrants that they have in their care. Honestly, if they're contracting the virus and they're dying, and the death is higher than last year and the highest has been in 15 years, it's just, I kind of feel bad for the immigrants that go through that, because they fight hard to escape their country and escape the situation they've been to come to the U.S. Because the immigrant, U.S. has been great to the immigrants, chance, opportunity, success, and free country. That's what they thrive off. So when they get caught and they get sent,
Yep, the American dream.
right. So when they get caught and they get sent back and they got to deal with this, this, I can only imagine what they go through and the type of care that they get.
Not even that, even going through the pandemic. Imagine even before the pandemic, because if you, I don't know if you knew that, but I believe somewhere during this, through number 45's term, he actually cut ICE funding in half. So most of these deteriorating conditions that the people are stuck in is because of most of that funding getting cut in half. I forget what exact bill was proposed onto it. And that on top of that, that just compounded them. So instead of them being able to have the ability to actually deport them back out, they're in these basically holding cells. These are like foster animal cages. In some places, foster animals are even held better than humans are in this country. And that's what leads to all these other outbreaks. Like I don't know if you're informed, but in some of the ICE facilities in the Northeast here, there was an outbreak of cholera. Cholera is a deadly waterborne disease that basically dehydrates you through nonstop dysentery. And for the fact that the conditions were so bad that they actually led to different cholera outbreaks, different COVID outbreaks. I heard there were rumors going around that even in some facilities that the COVID percentage rate was either at 70%.
70%, that's a pretty high number.
In some of the ICE holding facilities here in the Northeast. Yeah, because I did my research into it during the pandemic a little bit.
Yeah, like 70%, that's a high number.
You know, if there's no money, then the workers, one, the workers don't care enough. Two, the workers, they really didn't care much in the workplace. Two, if they don't care because of the lack of funding. And three, if you have so many people that you're going to keep cramping into a space, like something's bound to break out. Four, with all the sicknesses going on because people don't have access to health care, there's not access to proper funding for proper treatment, not al let alone proper funding for proper housing or proper sanitation. that's just creating a shitstorm in itself, no pun intended.
Recipe for disaster, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm saying all this going on between pandemic and all these protests sparking, and now we have hearing about immigrants and then custody there, and just when you thought 2020 can't get any worse, and then there it goes in a shell, and 2020 in a shell, what we've been going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I feel bad for these immigrants. You know, they work hard to get away from what they witness in their country. So, you know, every country rights are different, and they're not the same as the U.S. So they try to get away from it and, you know, provide better lives for their family. And, you know, ICE comes down and, you know, people call ICE and to come get them and then, you know, deport them, whatever. And then they're in these cages, basically like almost prison. And now they're dying and all types of illnesses breaking out, and they all contracting the virus. So it's a mess. It's really a mess. I just kind of feel bad for them.
Yeah, I do too. And my next question is, if we're gonna hold our leadership accountable, where did that money go?
Wait, say that again.
I said, if we're gonna let's hold our leadership accountable, even though a lot of us aren't fans of our leadership, like they're there. So let's be hold them accountable. Ask them, where did the money go for these facilities? Where did the money go to help give these people refuge? If not here, if you're gonna send them somewhere else, get them proper refuge somewhere where in a nation where they can go and live a better life than where they once came from.
All right.
If that makes
Yeah,
sense.
it's a good question where that money goes, you know, with these facilities and stuff. It's a good question. But I'm pretty sure
You know?
they don't go to, you know, to them. I mean, to the immigrants, stuff like that. They probably go to other stuff that's not that important. But, you know, I'm pretty sure. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right. On to the next topic. 11-year-old boy and a woman are dead after an Oregon hostage situation. A woman and 11-year-old boy were killed in a hostage that unfolded in Salem, Oregon. The suspect also was found dead. And the Marin County Sheriff's Office responded on Monday, called up possible hostage around 12:30 p.m. Salem's about 45 miles southwest from Portland. The suspect, Jose Lopez, 34, was keeping two adults and two children hostage. The law enforcement officers arrived, and deputies were able to status communication with the suspect on trying to resolve the situation when they heard gunshots. As they made their way in, they found Deary Bustos, 24, and 11-year-old boy who was not named, dead with shotgun wounds. A 43-year-old woman, identified as Laura, had a shotgun wound. Was taken to the hospital by the police. To the other child's side, the home, 13-year-old boy was not injured, and the suspect was found dead. I'm seeing that they shot themselves. It's terrible.
And it was such a short article. So I want to hear how you feel about it, but I want to after I make the statement, I want to hear what you hear about it. The fact that the article is so finite, so compact, and they didn't name a motive. Do you think there's going to be some type of cover up action going on behind the scenes?
It's possible, but I'm still like, they didn't give, you know, all the details, but there's a lot missing, like, what led to the hostage, like, what's the backstory to him holding these two people hostage and shooting them, like, there's gotta be more to the story.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure they might release more, I want to say not now, but, you know, it's usually when stuff like this happens, they might release more information, they find out more information, or, as you said, they could possibly try to cover it up, but, I don't know, I don't think they could cover it up when they... You know, when the police was there, they didn't see it, but, you know, they was at the scene, and they when they walked in, found the boy dead and the suspect dead. So, you know, it's just more to the story that, you know, that needs to be said and more information that's probably missing what's going on. Probably, from, you know, when people ask that live, you get a statement from them telling what happened and what went down, so...
Well, let me correct myself. Let me not say cover up, but I'm saying will we, especially with the time of social media, like information is so easily disseminated. Do you think that the fact that we have a lack of it here, will it stay that way and we'll have a lack of information? Do you think we'll actually get it as the time goes on?
I feel like there's, you know, somebody, well, one of the people witnessed it. I feel like one of them will speak up and... give the backstory, what really happened and what really went down, and I feel like they'll eventually release. I'm not saying right away, they won't release it right now, but not eventually they'll, you know, come up with a story to knows how it really went down and how it went down. So. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, it's a tragic story to hear.
Because we don't know what the man motive was and what he did. He did. Didn't know what happened with him.
Yeah.
Backstory, what he was going through. And we just know that he was just kept him hostage, killed himself, and killed the boy.
Yeah, and I couldn't find any other further update besides the original article itself. Like, even the original article, there were no type of amendments to it as the day progressed. So right. Maybe they're looking thoroughly through this and they'll release some details over time. But I don't know. I guess I'm just so used to East Coast media where everything's happening. Like, there's always going to be a prosecutor, DA talking with a public statement. But this is a West Coast story, so hopefully there's some type of justice and the perpetrator actually gets caught and gets what he deserves through the justice system.
We'll find out more about this story. I feel like, you know, they probably still investigating because, you know, it's still fairly new, still trying to figure out what happened. So that's why they don't have probably the information they have right now. But I feel like they'll eventually get it, though, as time goes on. So that's on that. Now, to the topic I really want to talk about. I know you're on social media, so I know you're aware of the Tory Lanez and Meg Thee Stallion situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we know, Megan came out. The story came out.
Okay.
Meg said, you know, Tory supposedly shot in the foot. As we know, he was on the ground outside, and they made a cop made a walk. Meg walk was made a walk. You know, she had, you know, bullets in a fragment, whatever, in the foot. You know, walk backwards, whatever. And Meg finally came out. It was on IG Live, and she admitted that Tory did it. Now, Tory was silent for a while, and he just recently dropped the album called Daystar, explaining the situation, which is now, well, I just ran not too long ago, like number one album on Apple Music. So, my question to you is, how do you feel about it? Do you think Tory did it?
There's so now. There's actually a whole picture to it. So before I actually get onto like how I feel about it, let me just address that like. There's no such thing. First, I'll say there's no such thing as bad press because he literally put the album out on the day of Breonna Taylor's verdict.
Right.
So like that was a cocktail mess into itself. So that created a frenzy storm on Twitter. So for him, even though he's talented, and he has such a diverse skill set when it comes to music and production and singing. So like. For him, like, no press. For him, no press being bad press is, as long as his name's in the street, people are eventually going to go back to the album. And especially with the story coming on, like, this whole cocktail of crazy madness, people are going to listen to hear what he had to say. How I feel about the situation is, honestly, at first I was like, if he shot the dude, he should have been canceled, right? Like, that's how I felt at first. But then, like, as time came on, as I listened to, I haven't listened to the whole album, but I listened to snippets back and forth. I've had a lot of, like, water cooler talk from people who are really into music, from people who work in music, from people that are like avid Tory Lanez fans. Like, I'm kind of an avid Tory Lanez fan too. So like in this situation, I want to cancel him at first, but honestly, after listening to a couple snippets from the album, talking to people, it was just like, is there something else going on? Cause you hear it in the bars. Like you hear like all the Kylie, not really like all the Kylie subs, like not in a bad way, but you hear all the Kylie subs in a way. You hear Megan coming out, but she's not fully out about it. You hear Tory kind of coming up. He can't really talk about it. Is there some kind of like Kardashian payoff money going on? Like, I want to know what real, like, we never, I think, feel like we're never going to really what found out happened at that party. Like, I sound like a conspiracy theorist, which I rarely don't, but I feel like there's something going on with Kylie going on at that party. That how are there no witnesses of the actual shot happening? How's a fragment hit her ankle out of anything? And how are they still saying that they kind of have love for each other? And between Tory and Meg.
I mean, for you to say a Kardashian payout, that's kinda crazy. I mean, I don't know. But I don't know if I'm gonna go that far, but
isn't it there in the Kylie subs a little bit?
I wanna reach that far about it. I mean, but I mean, with this whole situation, it's crazy. I mean, people are just going off by what's being told, so we don't really know you know, people really trying to defend people, but, you know, he wasn't really there. We still, we, so I don't, I'm not picking any sides. You know, I like I said, Tory Lanez is definitely a talented artist. He's definitely one of my favorite artists. I listened to the album, and honestly, I thought it was good. Honestly, you know, I kind of enjoyed the album.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not picking no sides, but, you know, I don't know. I just want to wait till the full story come out of somebody who was, you know, a report or somebody who actually was there just come out. Because, you know, we hear both sides, you know, people kind of going back and forth saying, oh, you know, Tory did tweet her, oh, Meg could be lying, how did she not see the shot and stuff like that. So it's a whole mess, and they got everybody going, you know, going nuts. So
literally going nuts. But we have nothing, we have no clarity, we have no details. We literally just have a bunch of subs going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing his best, like, Drake impersonation. Like, you know, like, when Drake was trying to go at, like, Georgia Smith, like, he would just put a couple, like, subtle jabs. He's trying to shoot a shot subtly in a song. He's subtly saying shit about Kylie. So I wonder, like, there's some type of Kylie, like I said, I sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, but there's some type of Kylie Kardashian mix going on that we're not seeing or that we probably won't hear about.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, we can only find out, you know, they saying we gotta wait for, what you call that, a side story of her best friend, one, Marta Kelly. She supposedly has a side story, so I'm just wait to see what she say, and then, you know, go off that and basically try to put it together, put two and two together.
Yeah.
Just wait and see, but yeah, it's a very crazy situation, but it's nuts. Got the whole social media upset and angry. Like, when they went to cancel Tory Lanez, wanted to deport him back to Canada, and I'm just like, oh, I cannot, man. They really going hard.
I get it. I can't.
It's hilarious, but, like, I can't go hard for something like that. Like, defend it to the point like that. Like, that's just kind of crazy. Like, people would actually go hard for them. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy. But now, on to the sports side of things. The NBA Finals start tonight at 9 o'clock. Or the Lakers play the Heat game one. Honestly, as I said before, I am a Lakers fan, so of course I want my boys to win. I want LeBron to get his fourth ring. I predicted the series in six. You know, anything could happen, but that's how I see the series. I could see the Heat winning two games. You know, they're definitely a talented team. Definitely, you know, I understand Lakers are the favorites, but I'm not going to underestimate the Heat because they are, you know, they played well together, well coached, a young team. Even though, you know, Lakers look better on paper, and everybody's saying a so-called mismatch, but I expect, you know, the Lakers to keep doing what they've been doing. They're expecting to win game one tonight and to win a series of six.
You're a Lakers fan, and since LeBron's there, you have to be a big LeBron guy now, right?
I mean, I've been Lakers fan way before LeBron was there, but, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying now you're into LeBron because he's down with the purple.
I mean, I've always like LeBron as a player. You know, credit for what he does. I always like, you know, the hate he gets, it doesn't make any sense because, you know, there's a lot of people who just give, you know, criticize him for. I mean, he deserves some of it, but not all of it to the point he gets. But, you know, but now he's with my team, so yeah, I'm you know, kind of what you want to call it, heavily invested into him. Yeah, you could say that. So that's going for him and AD and the Lakers as they try to, you know, win this title for Kobe. This would definitely be a good one to bring it back to LA. So.
Especially with such a weird year going on with this passing and then with the pandemic going on. Like, this is really this is a hard ring to win emotionally. But the reason, but also being in that bubbles also helped the rookies on the rookie shooters on the Heat in a way, or the young guys in the Heat in a way, because they don't have that animosity of an opposing fan base screaming at them, yelling at them. They don't have the adversity of being on the road a couple times in a series. You know what I'm saying? For them being in the bubble, like, I don't care how many sound effects or what kind of effects you create in the arena, being in the bubble is like being in an open gym for them. So imagine being you know, because you play ball, being a shooter in an open gym, like, y'all guys just running up and down with jerseys and refs.
Right, you know. Yeah, you're in the bubble. It's just the players, the coaching staff, the trainers, and basically well, you know, you have a few, you know, visitors, like, you know, that can, are, you know, family-wise are at the game. So that's all it is. Yeah, it's a lot different. You know, circumstances are different. But, you know, thing about it is there's really no home court advantage. So that's, you know,
And that makes it so much easier for the young guys that don't have to go through that adversity. Because think about it. If you're on an NBA team, you're going to the playoffs, what's the first thing the vets tell you? Make sure you stay poised, keep a calm head, and make sure you don't worry about the crowd and make sure you play your game. That's the first thing the vets will tell rookies. But now the
I'm good.
And that hasn't been the case this playoffs. Like, the bubble's just been literally just a bubble.
I can only imagine this game one at Staples with that packed crowd. Oh my, that would be nuts. That crowd would be into the game one in the finals and back in LA with all the stars and that usually be at the LA games. Yeah, game one would be definitely sold out, definitely.
Or imagine that Houston Rockets series. If we go back a couple of series, imagine playing how loud Oklahoma City gets. Imagine playing over there.
Yeah, it's different feeling, different vibe. Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
But yeah, I got the Lakers win this series. LeBron get the fourth, and they win this title for Kobe.
Yeah, I got the same. I got the same thing coming too. Yeah. I don't know. I think, because I asked you about LeBron before, because if you watch LeBron, like, he always ramps up towards the NBA playoffs, ramps up towards the finals. Like, he always starts his preseason 30%, goes through the season about 50%, goes 65%. All-star break winds down a little bit. He goes about 75% until they clinch. Whatever team he's on clinches a high ceiling. Once they clinch a high ceiling, then he'll chill out. And then he'll taper himself for the playoffs. Then as the playoffs come back up, he'll start going like 60, 65, 75%, 80%. LeBron has been – he's so great, and he's still been chilling throughout these playoffs. He is fully loaded and ready to go. Like, he's going to come out and make a statement in these first four playoff games.
I mean, like I said, playoff time, you got to rip it up, because it's either you win or you go home. So playoffs, you got to rip it up. And like, LeBron is great at what he do. He has an all-around game, and that's one of the greatest players to ever do it. So, like I said, it's his 10 finals, but he said, like, it don't mean nothing if you don't complete the goal. And his job and his team is to complete the goal. So I know LeBron, AD, that whole supporting cast, they're all going to be ramped up to win this finals.
LeBron's going to come out ramped up, and Rondo's going to come out ramped up. Because those are two.
They're scoring. The defense is going to be ramped up. All that, because, you know, they have one goal. That's to win a championship. And they definitely want to, you know, win this for Kobe and not let him down. So I definitely think they're going to be ramped up. And LeBron's going to come out and just be aggressive as he should have been, as he should be, like he was in game five in the Nuggets series when he had 3-16-10. So I see that LeBron coming out being focused and determined, and the Lakers being determined to, you know, not let them not give the Heat a chance, you know, make it tough on them.
Yep, and whether the Heat win and or steal a couple depends, for me, on one, will the shooters show up and consistently show up? And two, how will they react to the Lakers' offense? Because they're going to have this might be their toughest matchups guarding all playoffs. Because I don't know if you noticed in that Nuggets series, like, they ran so many sets, AD pick a pop, AD pick a roll, and then what's AD doing? AD's on the left block with Jamal Murray on him most of the time. Like, can the shooters be able to fight through screens, fight around the shooters? Instead of, like, sitting there and just waiting to close out, now they have to run through screens and stuff like that. And that sometimes has, you know, as a baller, that sometimes has effect on fourth quarter legs.
Right. I mean, for the Heat to win, to have a chance to win this series, first of all, they have to let the supporting cast beat them and not let LeBron and AD beat them one. Two, they try to perimeter shots because they do show a lot of them. And if they're on, if they hitting shots and the Lakers not hitting shots, then that could be another problem. And then
they can't get turnover happy, because at times they do get a little turnover prone. And, you know, LeBron, AD in the open floor, or Caruso in the open floor, they will take advantage of it.
I'm about to say three. They got to, for them to win, they got to run the, you know, they're undersized. So, you know, Lakers have a lot of size. So they got to try to win the rebounding battle. And that's three, you know, because Bam has been really the only big man. And he's, you know, he does it all. So he's, you know, it's going to be tough for him because, you know, all that size. And then, you know, he also popped out in, you know, zone. They throw a lot of zone. So Lakers, you know, definitely have to find a way to beat that and, you know, run sets and counter it, you know, get scores and baskets. And what it comes down to is trying to limit their shooters as, you know, Hero and Robinson, Crowder, and who else, Dragic, you know, just try to limit those guys, honestly. That's what it really comes down to.
I hope we get to see some Jimmy Butler on LeBron, because that's the matchup that everybody's waiting for. That's the matchup everybody wants to tweet about. Everybody wants to see the dog against the king.
I I think it's gonna happen. I think Jimmy is gonna guard him. I won't be surprised if he will. They're gonna throw the bodies at him, you know, LeBron. But I think, you know, Jimmy's gonna be one of them. It's gonna be Jimmy.
I think it's gonna be a lot of Jay Crowder, because Jay Crowder didn't do too bad when he was up in Boston.
It's gonna be Jimmy, Jay Crowder. They're gonna throw Iggy on him. So yeah, they're gonna throw some bodies on Bron. You know, keep some fresh bodies on him. You know. So,
yeah.
We'll definitely see it. I'm not saying he'll guard him all game, but you know, he'll be on him some parts of the game. So. It's going to be interesting to see this series move forward. So I look forward to it. Great series. And now, moving forward, I don't know if it's the NFL, if you heard about the NFL, but the Titans had a COVID outbreak with like 8 people caught the virus. And now they're postponing the game for them at Steelers, I guess, either to Monday or Tuesday. So hopefully, you know, hopefully no more outbreaks happen where they jeopardize the season, because you know I waited all this time for the NFL to come back, and I don't need it to be gone now. So hopefully they, you know, take care of them and they heal up as, you know,
yeah,
take time to and, like, process and come back so the season can still continue. And you know, because I don't need the NFL to be shut down. That's the last thing I need.
Yeah. Who's your football team?
My football team, you know, is Dallas. I was Cowboys fan. You know.
Yes.
Not really too happy with them right now, but
but at this rate for them, like, they can't look down the barrel the hole for the Cowboys. I know we're talking about the Titans, but for the Cowboys, they got to take it 1 week at a time.
Yeah, you know, it's early in the season, still plenty of football left, so you know.
And look at their division.
Between having no preseason, no training camp, no OTAs, it's, you know, all teams not you know, not catching rhythm right away. Some teams gonna catch it later.
Yep.
Gonna get hot at different times. So I'm not panicking just yet, but no. You know. They definitely got to get a win this week, upcoming week. Definitely should have beat Seattle last week, but you know, that was a wonderful game. But, you know, like I said, I give them until about, like, week 8, you know, when it's halfway through the season, to see where they at, and that's going to determine for me if they're going to make the playoffs or not. So,
yeah.
Give them 8 games to see where they at and where they stand.
And hopefully the NFL stays around. I mean, this is our first outbreak. Like, I'm literally knocking on wood that hopefully it's the last outbreak, too, because be nice to have sports like some type of normalcy, but at the same time, like, I would love, at the same time, for me, like, I'm neutral towards sports because these players are still people and they still need the safety of their families, if that makes sense. And a lot of these NFL players aren't insured, you know, even a lot of these basketball players aren't insured. So, you know, like, they're out there risking their bodies and, God forbid, risking their lives. I know they've made bubbles for the basketball players and some of hockey, but what bubbles are made for the NFL?
Right. But then again, it's hard to have, you know, a bubble in the NFL. It's too many people on the team and roster. So you try to keep it kept in one spot.
Yeah.
It's bound to kind of bring up NBA. You have 12 guys on the roster. So less people have to deal with. So, you know, hopefully, just, you know, NFL just keep following protocols and just try to avoid these outbreaks as much as possible. And hopefully, have a long full season and have the Super Bowl in February. In Tampa, so.
Yep. Let me ask you a question out of combined two topics that we talked about today. Let's go the NFL with the NFL with the NFL with the COVID and the politics. How did you feel when Trump made that little snippet last night, the little soundbite saying, but I got football back for you guys?
I wouldn't say that he got football back for us. I mean, I kind of predicted the NFL to start on time and stuff like that. And, you know, but they did, you know, the first game of the season when I watched it, as you know, the teams, the Chiefs and the Houston, they came together, midfield, it was, I think, arm in arm, and, you know, I guess unity united, and they got an end zone, it starts for all of us, stuff like that. So, you know, they're taking, you know, what's going on in the world and trying to show some justice, also, even with NBA players, with their messages on the back of their jersey, you know, they're aware of what's going on, they want change, just like everybody else doing it. Outraged and tired of what's going on, and they want better for the country and the society as a whole. So
yeah,
I want to say he got it back for us. I want to, you know, say that.
Yeah, I think that's a little cap.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things with Trump saying is false, but you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely with that. So, is there any last words you want to say?
No. I'm gonna be like I said. The only thing I'm gonna say is Lake. I'm gonna be delusional. And say Lakers in 3. I think LeBron's coming out with a vengeance.
Look, man, this is kind of personal. You know, he's famous, facing his former team, and then, you know, Pat Riley and stuff like that. But they kind of departure how he went out. So it's a little personal. So I know LeBron definitely
wants
this one.
Yes, he wants his thing back. Does this change his does this change his legacy in any way? Does it steer a certain path, or does he stay? Is he staying on the same path with this fourth ring?
I mean, if he loses, you know, it hurts his finals record, but you know, it doesn't hurt from what he's done his stats wise. But if he wins, it just adds another accomplishment, accolade to what he's been doing throughout his whole career. So
yeah,
that's how I look at it.
Because he's pretty much great in the books, but like he doesn't really go anywhere. Like he's still on that same LeBron James path. Like. It's nothing that gets him. I mean, he's already in a GOAT tier. There's not really much farther for him to go. Like he's almost at the ceiling.
At this point, I don't know if it's just about winning. I'm just
gonna do this. At this point, it's like 4, 5, 6.
Just try to get more rings for he retired when he took the lace his shoes up and call it a day.
Yep, 4, 5. Retired. Yep, I think that at this point for him it's 4, 5, 6. That's the only thing he could do to push himself.
To make his resume a little better, you know, in the argument. So.
Yeah, which is crazy and stuff. Like, he's that great that he needs 2 more rings to even push himself even farther. Like, think about that. Think about how crazy that is. Even for him, like, think about that stuff mentally. Think about how hard he has to train.
Man, I mean, LeBron spends $1 million on his body every year. So, you know, he stays in shape and form. That's nothing to him. He spends millions of dollars on his body each and every year. So, that's why he's so durable and built the way he is, because he, you know, take care of his body. So him getting, you know, another, you know, 2 rings, I don't doubt it. I think it's possible, you know, as long as, you know, they keep that team together, and, you know, probably if they want to make some adjustments, add some people, they definitely can. So I can definitely see him getting probably 2 more rings before it's all said and done, possibly. Let's see. But yeah, this is the conclusion on this episode. I want to thank Tim for joining this episode. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thanks for letting me hop on. It was nice to just talk and share some ideas and engage.
Yeah, definitely, you know, definitely good talk, good vibes, and definitely have to get you on another episode, future episode, you know, we'll discuss that.
Yes, sir.
And until next time, it's your host, Tyler Brown, and Tim, and I'm out.
Yep, stay safe, everybody.